and we'll begin today with our Northern editor, Vincent Kearney, in Belfast, where voters will be going to the polls on the 4th of July after British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's rain-soaked announcement of a general election yesterday. Vincent, it's only 4 months since we got the Northern Ireland executive back working, and now we have a general election in the offing again.
Indeed, just so this place needs another election, just when they think that they might be starting to stabilise things, a spanner gets thrown in the works and further down the line, we'll have to look at whether or not this election and the election campaign might actually destabilise that Stormont executive, because, of course, it will pit the parties against each other in a fairly aggressive way. Now, we go into this election with 18 MPs in Northern Ireland. The DUP is the largest party on 8, just one ahead of Sinn Féin on 7, then the SDLP have 2 seats and the Alliance Party has 1. And all eyes here will be on the DUP and Sinn Féin on you, because Sinn Féin has broken the mould and records in successive elections in Northern Ireland. It's now the largest party in local government as well as the Stormont Assembly, and winning most seats in the general election would be a remarkable hat-trick. It would make it the largest Westminster party, despite the fact it doesn't take a seat, for the very first time. To do that, they don't even have to win more seats. If they sit in that 7, they could still do it, because the DUP with 8 is under real pressure. Gavin Robinson is a very short-lived leader, only appointed on the 29th of March following Geoffrey Donaldson's sudden arrest, charging and resignation as party leader. And Gavin Robinson is a man under real pressure going into this election.
Now, Geoffrey Donaldson has announced that he won't be standing again. He hasn't resigned yet, but he said he won't be standing again. So talk to us about his Lagan Valley constituency and the fight there, and also East Belfast. These are some of the closest contests, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there is real jeopardy in this election campaign for the DUP. It's under pressure on many fronts. That arrest and charging and resignation of Geoffrey Donaldson and the pending court case will cast a huge shadow over this campaign. DUP strategists and candidates are concerned about its traditional support base, which includes many deeply conservative Christians, and how they might react. Mm-hmm. That, of course, is not their only problem. The traditional unionist voice, the TUP, has linked up with Reform UK, has indicated it will field candidates against the DUP in protest at its decision to return to power sharing. So it's under pressure on that front as well. Gavin Robinson himself faces a very tough fight to retain that Westminster seat in East Belfast. In the last UK general election in 2019, his winning margin over Alliance Party leader Naomi Long was just under 1,800 votes. Now, Naomi Long has kept her cards close to her chest, pardon me, at this stage. She hasn't announced whether or not she's going to run. Mm-hmm. But if she does, that will put Gavin Robinson under real pressure, because the Alliance Party is on an upward trajectory and has been now for a number of elections. So add that on you to that opposition from many unionists to Lourdes, and Lourdes to DUP's return to power sharing, and Gavin Robinson is under real pressure. And Lagan Valley itself, Geoffrey Donaldson is Northern Ireland's longest-serving MP, with 27 years under his belt. So he has a huge personal vote. Last time around, he beat Sorka Eastwood of the Alliance Party by just under 6,500 votes. But as I say, much of his vote was a personal vote. Mm-hmm. And because of what has happened with him, because of his demise, because of perhaps a rash against the DUP, the Alliance Party has its eyes on that seat now as well. But not only there, in South Antrim, we have Paul Girvan, the DUP MP. He's under pressure now as well from a new Ulster Unionist candidate, Robin Swan. Mm-hmm. Now, he's the current health minister. He said he will resign that post to campaign for Westminster. But during the pandemic, his popularity ratings were the highest of any politician in Northern Ireland. He is so confident he's actually switched constituency this time around. So potentially the DUP is facing very tough fights in East Belfast and Lagan Valley and South Antrim.
And also talk about Foyle, the SDLP versus Sinn Féin there, that contest.
Yes, well, the SDLP leader, Colm Eastwood, took that seat back from Sinn Féin in the last general election with a massive majority of almost 17,000. No one saw that coming. The sitting MP at that time, Alicia McCallion, had become very unpopular within Foyle for a wide variety of reasons, even with the traditional Sinn Féin support base. So Sinn Féin knew she was under pressure, but they didn't see that kind of a swing to Colm Eastwood. Now, he'd be pretty confident, you would think, of retaining the seat with that kind of majority. But the way Sinn Féin work, I'd imagine, they will be looking at holding their seven seats and potentially targeting that Foyle seat as well, although that is a huge majority to overcome.
And there is one way in which this general election will make a difference in Northern Ireland if Labour get back in terms of the legacy legislation.
Indeed, I mean, Keir Starmer and many within Labour have made it very clear that they will repeal that legacy legislation that all political parties in Northern Ireland are united in opposition to, and they have all welcomed that. And the parties do say they believe that the Labour Party will be true to its word, and they would expect to see that legacy legislation repealed with immediate effect. And that, of course, only if it happens, could immediately restore relations with the Irish government, because under this current government, relations have gone from bad to worse. The Irish government, of course, is challenging that legacy legislation in the European Court. And I imagine if Keir Starmer is to become Prime Minister and indicates at a very early stage that he is repealing that legislation, one of the first things the Irish government might do in response is to withdraw that legal challenge.
All right. And just briefly, Vincent, Mary has an interview coming up now with the chair of the Police Federation of Northern Ireland. Just outline the background to the £750,000 fine for the PSNI.
This is a potential fine that's going to be imposed by the UK's Information Commissioner's Office. Now, that goes back to last year. If you remember, there was a huge data breach which resulted in dissident Republicans getting access to the surname, initials, rank and role of all 9,483 serving PSNI officers and civilian staff. Now, that information was mistakenly released in response to a Freedom of Information request. Now, in a statement outlining its intention to impose this fine, the Information Commissioner's Office says that data breach brought a tangible fear of threat to life. And unsurprisingly, Anya said that it found that the PSNI's internal procedures for the safe disclosure of information were inadequate. Now, many would see that as a major understatement.
All right, and we're about to hear more about that now. But Vincent Kearney in Belfast, thank you.